The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I'm having a lot of fun.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Broadcast. It's Georgia here. I'm with Sam and Mallory. Is the world currently on fire? Yes. Does being a human seem terrible? Yes. But 2022 playoffs, baby. We got some... Honestly, I think it's the most chaotic playoffs of all time. Does anyone want to agree, disagree?
No.
I don't think it's particularly more chaotic than any other. I think that playoffs are always just like absurd and weird.
Yeah, but I feel like, well, actually, sometimes I do question, is it just because we've reached the zenith of being online?
Or it's true.
Because so much has happened. Also, like, wild swings in games. You can be down 3-0. Game's not over. We're scoring tons of goals. Goalies are not good.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff going on in the stands every night, off the ice, you know, just fun stuff. Okay. As of recording, Colorado is currently up 1-0 on St. Louis halfway through, or no, with 5 minutes left in the first. If they win tonight, that series ends. But the rest of the series are still ongoing, except for Tampa, Florida, which shockingly ended. I will say that because I think we all picked Florida to win.
Well, yeah, it's because they were such like
Tampa. You went Flames Tampa.
No. But then when
you mean
talked
like in the series, yeah, okay.
In the series, I was like, no, Florida's gonna win.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, they were such like a powerhouse during the entire regular season that like nobody thought that they could lose. Which, I mean, I guess that's the whole President's Trophy
curse,
getting swept thing. At least not in the first round. They didn't get swept in the first round, but I guess it just is very much shows how hockey does favor. I mean, like, obviously, I guess since it is a series, like, it shouldn't favor like an upset or whatever, but I think that hockey does have an underdog like current. Like, it's not like a problem, but like an underdog, I feel like, can make it like relatively far.
Yeah, I also think like
not calling the Lightning an underdog like at all, but also just saying that like the Panthers,
there's a higher
just,
element
like,
of chance than in like most sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like the other thing was Andrew Burnett's first time coaching in the playoffs, head coach in the playoffs. And I'm not going to lie, if I was starting a team right now, I'd probably want John Cooper to be my coach. He's very good at his job.
He is very
so
good.
So like, this is what we predicted was going to happen in the first round against Toronto, that he would out-coach. And I mean, Florida scored one power play goal in the entire fucking playoffs.
Yeah. And also they're facing Vasilevskiy, who, like, we had said that goalies suck, but like, he's like the one of the 10 goalies in the league that isn't bad.
But he was
and
not
also
good
I said 10,
in the beginning.
I mean like five. I mean like five goalies that aren't bad.
He wasn't good at the start of the series with the Leafs, and then he got better as the series went on. But
rounded into form.
Yeah, he really rounded into form. They also won without Braden Point. Like Florida,
yeah.
What
Wait,
the
this
fuck?
Is like skipping and going back, but I think that Mike Smith, not Mike Smithing at the end of the season, made him Mike Smith harder in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He got too confident. He forgot that he's not good at his job.
I mean, he really did say with his whole chest yesterday that he's never had a moment where he lost the puck on the ice. And everyone.
That was a hilarious quote.
Buddy, like, they could make like a 5-minute compilation of you doing that.
That's what you're most famous for. So, but we should say the high point of this series was the accusations levied against the Florida Panthers by a Tampa radio station, I believe, that they spent all night at a strip club after
before game three.
Before game three.
Yeah, they were back to back.
Because it was back to back.
It was a Saturday night game, and then there was they had a game on Sunday. So it was literally the night before a game as well.
So they were at the strip club, which, as I said, you're being shit kicked by Tampa. That's embarrassing. Also, it's just funny. It's just funny.
As I said, give your money to women.
I was really praying that they were going to like launch a comeback.
Yeah.
And then we like, could just be like,
would have been incredible after
once
that.
Again, sex workers, the bedrock of this society, which I still believe anyway, but like, oh man, what? Has there been a better quote than the guy who said I can't even think
of it. My strip club sources
the best in the industry.
It was so good.
It was so good. Didn't there the NBA bubble, wasn't there a thing where one of the players went to a strip club for wings?
Yes. And also people have made
so good
spreadsheets of how well James Harden does based in, and like also how that relates to the amount of strip clubs in the city that he's playing in. I believe it's James Harden.
That's unbelievable. I do know, actually, never mind. I don't need to go into that, but.
Okay, it says, I have proven to a statistical significant degree that the game performance of James Harden declines in cities with higher rated strip clubs. That is what they're.
I like, this isn't shocking. Like, do we think that they don't go out?
I was gonna say
like, we live in Vancouver, like, the Roxy.
But like, also like is. Tyler Seguin having to have security at his door to make sure he didn't go out before games. Not the first time.
Exactly.
Not the
so
last
if
time.
John Cooper's your coach, like he really lays down the law and makes sure that they don't do this. It's the first year coaches.
Yeah.
They
rookie,
can't handle
rookie
this.
Mistake. Rookie mistake. Didn't hire security.
He didn't honestly make sure to get a key card to every single person's room and go check they're in their bed.
Oh my God. So funny. I want to hear from these best sources in the industry. So I bet you that there is some very good information that we could get from strippers in Florida.
Sure. Yeah, basically, the problem is that hockey players are so much that, like, just some guy that they couldn't give us anything actually, like, helpful because they wouldn't recognize anyone. They just, like, some white dude, he also was missing a tooth, but that's normal.
Who's the best tipper? Let's discuss.
They can't identify them. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but that's what I want to know. Anyway, that was basically the point of interest in that series. It was just over so fast. Sad days for Claude Giroux. Should have gone to the Avs. Sorry, dude. Like, what a mistake. But I did see people online being like, this man needs to just end his career in Ottawa playing with Brady Tkachuk. Which would be like a power duo that I would really appreciate. We both know they
like. Imagine like Brady telling Claude what to do.
Yeah, but Mallory, imagine the shenanigans that will occur. Also,
imagine Gavin Giroux on Brady Tkachuk's shoulders like that kid at the Flames game.
I was going to say Brady Tkachuk is just a giant version of Gavin. Like he literally looks like a giant baby. So. It works anyway.
I do enjoy this. I hope that does happen.
Any other thoughts about the only concluded series? Oh, it's 2-0 Colorado. Good for them.
Who's McKinnon again?
I watched the first like 5 minutes of the game before we had to start prepping, and he was pulling a Ryan Kessler out there. Looked like he was just deciding I want to win this game. I don't want to be around David Perron anymore.
It's about time. I have been waiting for the version of Nathan MacKinnon that just decides this.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay. Where shall we go next? Let's briefly stop in with what's happening with the Rangers and Hurricanes, because I have not watched any of this series. I do know that Tyler Motz scored an empty net goal. I'm very happy.
Tyler Motz scored an empty net goal, which is very important.
And that Jacob Trouba tried to kill someone yet again. And
Chris Kreider scored a goal literally over Tony D'Angelo's head.
Oh God.
Like he was kind of like crouched down to like try to block a shot and it really literally went over his head.
Yes. I love. I also did see
that was really great.
D'Angelo like beaking off Ryan Reeves. And I was like, that seems like a bad choice. Like,
yeah, there were some like, after the shit out of you. Tyler Motz empty net goal in game 3, it was. There were some after game festivities that involved Gerard Gallant yelling shut the fuck up at Tony D'Angelo.
Love it.
So
live for that.
That's at least good. Actually, I feel like the Rangers have like looked pretty all right. Like, even though like Igor hasn't been playing out of his mind, like normally, like he was in the first round, which is good because like the Kings kind of have that like energy of like also were that same kind of really incredible team during like the regular season. You're like, I don't know who can stop them then. Like, but we obviously don't want them to win because, oh, also Max Domi got like beaten up after the game 3. I mean, there was a fight after the game and he was the one getting punched.
The only thing I think I know about this series or like the whatever what's been happening is like Caroline's having trouble winning on the road. They like, it's not working out for them. So who knows how that will go for the rest of the series. But yeah, let's hope the Rangers win so Mock Girl Summer can stay alive.
Yeah.
And that's
just
all I got.
Summer's just starting. Come on.
That's all.
Okay, yeah, let's be honest. The East boring. Let's get into the chaos, the true chaos. The Western Conference. Two just batshit crazy series. Nothing is more chaotic than what is happening with the so-called Battle of Alberta, which is really like the first game came out, it was a strong start, 9-6.
It was not strong. It was not strong. It was no. Not good hockey that was being played.
No, I meant strong start chaos.
Oh, yeah. Like, strong start chaos.
The fact that it was 6-0 and then they fucking came back, like insanity. We should have known from then it would just like things would never be the same again.
But that's the only game the Flames have won.
I know, which is shocking, except for when you look at the way Markstrom is playing, it's not shocking.
Well, you look at the way Markstrom playing
so bad.
He's been so like you are he's playing worse than Mike Smith, who let in a fucking goal from the opposition's
the other
defensive
blue line.
Zone. Like, I don't like what the fuck? It's so insane. He has an 852 save percentage.
McDavid has been doing the he wants to win and he has a new level. I don't know what this level is because it's not like because his normal level is another level. And I mean, there's the super crazy goal on Markstrom that got like called back because of quote unquote goalie interference, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And that's like only like one of his highlight reel like situations. He's mostly been actually assisting Evander Kane, which is like gross, but that's like also why I think the Oilers are obviously like doing whatever the fuck in there, which is like not good because then it kind of encourages and allows teams to think that you can have a horrible goalie and horrible defensive core and win in the playoffs.
I mean, it's not sustainable. Like, it's happening.
But how sustainable can they make it? Like, can they make it on their unsustainable levels? Okay, actually,
If they are going to play Colorado, good fucking luck.
Let's see. Like, let's see. Here's why we need to allow the Oilers to continue winning playoff series. How many ugly jackets can Kyle One come up with?
Okay, this is new, right? Managed
to make a jacket worse than the first round jackets.
This is new, though, right? They didn't used to do this for every round, right?
No, she said we're taking it to a new level, and I respect her for that.
But I don't even...
Do you think she was like, hey, everyone ragged on me for my ugly ass white house. I'm going to make the ugliest, most colorful, hideous jackets I can.
It looks
like... Those jackets are the antitheses of their house.
Yeah, it looks like a laser tag. Like the stuff that you like see in like a laser tag. Yeah. Or like, it's so bad.
Okay, we did last episode complain about just general wag jackets, which normally are... just what they're wearing for the entire time. No. Oilers Wags took it up a new level and are wearing worse jackets than they did for the first round, getting new ones. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they are like white jean jackets with blue and orange splatters on them.
Yeah. I don't even understand like what the... Cause so the original wag jackets were like jean jackets that then they just put the numbers on and the names. And it was like, okay, it's just a jean jacket, whatever. It's like a thing. And then for each,
yeah, like with like little patches, team, like, it's like, okay,
Nashville started doing leather and they would do the stuff. So it's kind of like an homage to like, whatever, country music, Dolly Parton-esque kind of stuff. Great. What the fuck is this? Like, I don't understand what it's like trying to be other than so fucking ugly.
They just started trying to do different things, right? Like the Avs Wags did blazers last year with the fleur-de-lis.
Can they bring in someone? Like, does no one know?
They are hiring people. That's the thing. That's the worst thing is that you can like, especially because I know that I've seen like Dallas, especially they'll be like, oh yeah, this like designer helped us. It's like,
oh, Lauren Oshie did that all the time for the,
yeah,
for the Caps. She always posts on her Instagram stories. Although theirs usually look good.
Like, there's, you got it. Yeah.
So can someone with like Oilers Wag Insight, please let us know if they are doing these all just like going to whatever the Canadian version of Michaels is and like doing this themselves, or is somebody being paid real money to make these?
The Canadian version of Michaels is Michaels.
Michaels.
I was going to say Hobby Lobby actually, but then.
What do you think? They just have like a craft night in the fucking mausoleum that Lauren Kyle won.
That's
what they do. Oh my
Marvel's
God.
Marvel's easy. Well, the thing is that like her floor is like, you can just get a hose and like, it's fine.
We need a new Stepford Wives movie, but it's about wags, specifically in Edmonton.
It was called Hockey Wives and it was cruelly cut short.
You should really do Hockey Wives again.
No, it's got to be like a horror film of like someone trapped in the fucking mausoleum and like having
that's
to like
she
bedazzle
does if you,
a
if
fucking
you tell her
coat.
That the jacket's ugly. Georgia,
write
the jacket
this
decision
book.
Is ugly.
Yeah, I'm going to write this. I'll be the next Taylor Jenkins read over here.
Yeah.
Some girl trying to escape a marble.
Taylor Jenkins read like honestly does write fanfic though. So like it would not
locked
be.
In the.
She's just like, oh, control F.
Strangled by a Hermes scarf. Oh man. They're horrible. But yeah, we'll see like what are they gonna come up with next. To be fair, don't have a great color scheme to start with. Though they could lean into the navy. Like
people are hating on the what the jerseys that the Oilers are wearing at home in the playoffs, the navy ones, and saying that they're ugly. I like them.
They're ugly.
Okay, well, you're one of the people that are hating on them, but you also like the wave, so shut up.
I do like the wave at appropriate times. We're not relitigating this. You guys betrayed me. I will never forgive you.
Taste.
How dare you? What are the Flames wags wearing? White, right? And they're all terrible?
White and red. They have red jackets as well.
We need some journalists to get on this. Like, you know how they always say, like, journalists need to do is, like, hold powerful people accountable.
I just need to get back on Tumblr.
Yeah.
All the Puck Bunny blogs are gone.
Damn it.
They quit.
So sad. You know that when the Canucks make it to the playoffs, it's going to be Lexi, what's her face, that's doing them.
Is it Lexi Shaw?
Lexi Shaw is going to be doing the Wag Jackets. You know it. Whatever.
Do you think so? Maybe Natalie Miller if, like, they don't get traded.
Oh, that man is not coming back next season. There's no way. Okay. So the Oilers could win the series tomorrow. Do we think the Flames can come back and, like, make it a series? I think we said that it was going to go to seven. I think we all said, or maybe we said six, for the Flames. Do we think they can come back, or is this just like the horses have left the stable?
I think we need another Matthew Tkachuk hat trick.
Yeah.
And then we can get back in it. I say we. Am I a Flames fan? I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Do we think they're losing because Keith Tkachuk refused to throw his hat onto the ice? Yes or no?
No. I think they're losing. I think the Flames are losing because they stole content from Mike Fail and never credited him.
Oh, that is true. Don't do that, guys. That will come back to bite you. I'm not ready for the Brady tour to be over yet, though. But oh well.
Yeah, I hope they push it to six games at least.
I mean, yesterday the last game started off like they let Markstrom like gifted them a goal 27 seconds in, like not great, and they did come back.
Yeah, but they came back and then also tied it up with that other joke goal from that Mike Smith let in. So it was like essentially actually they tied it at two because both of those should have counted in any reasonable world.
Yeah. I guess like, well, so Chris Tarram's back, which is helpful for them. But I guess the problem is like, if your first line is up against McDavid, like that's going to, you're going to not be able to score probably because offense is defense and that's what Connor McDavid is good at. And so you need kind of your down the lineup people to score. And I think I saw that like the third line particularly is really not playing well for the Flames. So they need to get their shit together in terms of that. And Markstrom, Vezina finalist, ooh, terrible.
I don't like, do you think he's injured? Because he looks awful.
I think he does this though. He gets rattled, I think, and then which like I get, but it reminds me of
good in the regular season and shit in the playoffs.
Yeah, or like Luongo would do this. It's like when a pitcher just like loses their command, and then it's like really hard to get back while you're in it, and that's what it feels like to me. He could be injured though. Like they're all injured. What did you text me last night, Mal? Can Chris Tanev eat corn on the cob?
I just noticed he really doesn't have any front teeth.
No, he lost them all.
You did make his return because you were saying that the reason that he couldn't, that Markstrom couldn't play well was because Tanev wasn't in front of him, but Tanev did make his return.
And he still played like shit.
So last night and Markstrom still played like shit. But like Tanev's only got like maybe like three teeth in his major front area. So that's what I was saying. And I was saying the man cannot eat corn on the cob.
No.
No way.
There's no way. Okay. So do we think the Oilers are going to close it out?
No.
One more?
Yeah, I think the Flames win one more.
Because they're playing at home, right?
Yeah.
They're playing in Calgary, so.
Markstrom also finally looked good in the last half of the last game. So maybe.
Fingers are crossed. I just like, I don't want the series to end because it's like, it's totally crazy. Like it's pure chaos hockey at its finest. And I also like, I don't want good things for Evander Kane. So unfortunately this is where we're at. But
I do like, I would like to see a McDavid McCarr matchup, but somehow without Evander Kane. I don't know how we get there, but that's what I want.
Yep. Yeah. I also like, yeah, I would like to see Edmonton play Colorado. I think that would be fun, but I also just wanted to see Calgary play Colorado because Daryl Sutter is just so funny about.
It's just a waste of time.
Just a waste of time going there. So yeah, I guess we'll find out tomorrow. Okay. Last series, this one, like, so much is going on in this series. Avs Blues again, it's currently 3-1 Avs in the series. I think it's still 2-0. Yeah. First intermission. Obviously this series has largely been about Nazem Kadri, for a variety of reasons. Most notably the racist death threats that he's been facing since game two,
because that's when Bennington got knocked out.
Game two. Was it?
No, game three.
It was game three. No, it was game three because yesterday was the first one they played. Since game three, when he was pushed into Jordan Binnington and then Binnington exited the series, people obviously reacted rationally, as all sports fans do, as we know. And yeah, he was sent a bunch of just horrific things that I hate that they had to make it public, but also you do because, A, because people don't believe it, or B, they just like don't understand the true horrific stuff that's said. Also has been sent to families who are part of the Nazem, like the Kadri Family Foundation, which is horrific. And this has obviously been going on since then. And then he, in game four, he had a hat trick. And the story really became complicated because it started to be positioned as, look at Nazem Kadri. He overcame racism to be triumphant. And I think I understand why people want to go there, particularly like white people want to go with the kind of the hero narrative that we're so often kind of used to, like, obviously think back to like Greek stories about people overcoming adversity to accomplish greatness. This isn't that, because racism isn't something that someone should have to be that for someone's story. And it actually, when we frame it that way, that does nothing to stop it. And it actually lessens it. And also, like, if Nazem Kadri went out and didn't score at all and punched David Perron in the face and got kicked out of the game, that would be equally as valid a response to the situation. And so, like, we just have to be careful when we want to frame things that way. And I think a couple of people, Ryan Clark and then Sunny Sachdeva from Sportsnet, and also Romina Schlaw, posted about this. About this way that we specifically talk about these moments. And so it's just a good reminder that, like, yes, we can celebrate that he had a good game, but we don't need to kind of like, I guess, use it as a way to kind of lessen or push away the actual reality or the things that we can do to stop this from happening again, I guess, if that makes sense. But
can we talk about how deranged David Perron is?
I like hate him so much.
First of all, this whole thing started with, he was one of the few Blues who was asked about the threats towards Kadri. And I think the word he used was, oh, it's unfortunate. Like, sorry, that's the weakest word you could have picked for it. It's not unfortunate. Like, unfortunate is like not winning the 649. It's like, missing your bus. That's unfortunate. Like, getting racist death threats is not unfortunate. It's disgusting. Like, pick a better word. It's not hard. And then he was just completely deranged that entire game. Like, he basically threw a temper tantrum and on multiple occasions tried to take out Kadri.
And he was headhunting.
He was fully headhunting him. You can watch after, like, he tries to take his head off during his goal celebration. And, like, all he got was a $5,000 fine. Like, it's a joke. He shouldn't have been playing that game.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to go really badly. And maybe that's because I lived through Steve Moore. And the, like, whole shenanigans there, but also, like, yeah, you could feel it. Like, it could have gone so badly. Like, it could have gotten so bad. And that's, like, that's the inherent problem with the way that the NHL functions in its Department of Player Safety, which is, like, a total fucking joke. Like, let's be real. Come on. Because you can't, like, I actually was waiting for them to be like, oh, Gary Bettman will be in attendance to watch this game live, or like George Parros will be in attendance to watch the game live, as if that would kind of do anything. But it's just this weird, it's just such a, I like, he so clearly didn't try to intentionally injure Binnington.
But because they have beef, going with the narrative that he did.
Yeah.
And they're doing nothing. Like, I thought the whole thing was kind of gross in the sense that, yeah, you know what? Like, I'm an absent whenever I'm biased, but I think most people I've seen who are not a fan of either, and who aren't like Kadri fans, you can watch that play and be like, he got pushed in by Cal Rosen. It was accidental, notwithstanding that he's obviously made dirty plays before in the past. Mm-hmm. This was not one of them. And the Blues did absolutely nothing to tamp down that narrative. They were like, no, he tried to injure our guy. And I think, like, nothing to me was more telling that they were happy to go with that angle and kind of set up this retribution narrative than Craig Berube being asked about the threats being made against Kadri. And he said no comment before the game. He got dragged for it. And in his clarification today, he said, I was aware that threats were directed at him. I wasn't aware of the racial stuff. So, like, sorry, your clarification is you were totally fine with people directing threats at him. But you just draw the line at racist threats. Like, what kind of clarification is that? Like, nothing makes it more clear that, like, you were absolutely happy for people to be deranged assholes online because you thought he deserved it.
Yeah. It's one thing I just hate about hockey is the, like, let's bond together over wanting to kick the shit out of some guy. Like, as if that's the team bonding, that's what's going to, like, cauterize the team together or, like, galvanize them or whatever around, like, that kind of narrative. It's like, why don't you make your motivation winning the fucking Stanley Cup? Maybe that works. I don't know. Just me. Like, I just, especially when it's something like this stupid, but it's just, it feels so, like, caveman base, like, stupid. It just seems so dumb. And yet, which I think is part of the reason why people are, like, lean into the Nazem Kadri triumph is that, like, he made them look like idiots. Like, he made them look so embarrassingly stupid. And that is nice. Like, I understand that, that angle of it. But yeah, I guess my thing is, like, he shouldn't have to be the, like, stoic, put my head down thing for that to be whatever overcome. Yeah, I guess this is just another example of, like, hockey's just not set out to, like, handle this stuff or to respond appropriately to it.
I mean, George Parros is the head of the Department of Player Safety, which is, like, the epitome of a joke.
Yeah, and also like the fact that like I just didn't, there wasn't really a big response from like other players to be like, this is fucked. It's not like, I don't, okay. It's like, well, okay, cool. And it was like really depressing actually to see on the post-game interview when Nazem Kadri's like, oh, I'm like used to this. Like, this is.
Yeah. I mean, like so many, like pretty much like any player of color, like we saw this with Ethan Bear last year.
Yeah.
Has dealt with this and it's so fucked up. Like, obviously it's fucked up and it's like to be sending death threats to a player in the first place. It is a game. But especially when you start going into racially like absurd situations like this, like targeting them in them because of that is just a whole another level of fucked up. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 So yeah, hopefully, I don't know. Hockey one day gets its shit together, like probably not, but this just, yeah. Meanwhile, while this was all happening, Jordan Binnington was sitting in the fucking press box, deleting his own racist fucking tweets.
I think that's like a high point. I think
that's so funny.
One of the most crazy things. Like,
did he go
first of all, the fact that he had left all of them up since people found them, like, when he was like, when the Blues won the cup, like, was when they all came up and he just left them there. And then, like, during the game, they all started disappearing. I'm like, is he doing this? Is Chris Prosperi doing this? Like, what's going on?
I have a genuine question. Did he delete all of them? Like, was it like any tweet that was sent before like X year was deleted, or was he having to go in and individually be like, this one is not good?
I have no clue. I just know that they got deleted, but I mean, it was just like, it was a full circle moment in a lot of ways. But yeah. Oh man. What a time. What a time to be alive. Okay. What else do we want to talk about? Anything else? Who do we think is going to win the Stanley Cup as of this day, Wednesday, May 25th at 6:17 p.m.? You had to put all your chips in. Who are you betting is going to win the cup?
I'm saying Lightning three-peat.
Dude, me too.
Okay, well, Sam is currently wearing her obviously sweatshirt. Predictable.
That's fine.
I'm going all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be hilarious for Nazem Kadri to win the cup. Not for like.
Just for like the amount of times.
Just because it'd be hilarious for him to bring the cup back to Toronto. I think that'd be so funny.
Also the fact that like he used to not be able to make it through a playoff series without being suspended.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is true. There's been some growth.
Like Tom Wilson winning the cup was objectively funny. And so like.
Also, think about all the, like, ass-eating jokes you can make when Nathan McKinnon wins the cup.
That is true. Lots of Nathan McKinnon jokes. I still can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have it in me. But
if the Avs win the cup and Bowen Byram gets to take the cup back to Vancouver, we're going to go see him.
Yeah. I want to say if the Lightning win the cup this year, how many Stanley Cups will Pat Maroon have won?
Too many.
That's the same number as Wayne Gretzky.
So that's actually so funny.
We need this to four.
Genuinely fucked up.
Please, like, if he has the same amount of wins as Wayne Gretzky, that will, oh God. But also, we don't want good things to happen to teams in Florida. Though we have also said that we're at the point where like there's no team that can win that is morally good.
There's no team in hockey that is morally good.
Yeah, there's always going to be some problem. The pain.
Hockey is morally bad. I feel like that's our thesis. Of this
somebody was giving Tony X shit for being a Blues fan and was like, for all the racist comments, and which is wild because he fully like denounced it, whatever. And I think he tweeted like, if we were gonna base this on like morality, this entire league would fold. And I was like, that's accurate. There would be no NHL.
There would be no NHL. 3-0 Avs. Love to see it. Though, as we've learned, that can be erased at any moment, but hopefully not. I hope they win on home ice. That's kind of fun. Okay. I think that's it for this week. I don't know if we have anything else to talk about. We will not be discussing Arsenal. And
honestly, literally today, like I hurt my own feelings just remembering that not even anything about like our own success. Like I was just upset that Tottenham was in Champions League. Like I was upset about that. I don't even care about us. I just don't want them to be happy.
It is just like major pain.
I do have my stars.
It's just like fucking embarrassing. It is so embarrassing.
Which is somewhat related.
Okay, let's do our 3 stars of the week. Mallory, go. Who's your star?
Okay, well, speaking of Europa League, my star is Jose Mourinho, because he just won with Roma, and he also has a TikTok sound that is blowing up currently, because he's such an incredible weirdo, and everything he does is like memeable, but also he did just win the Europa League. I'm very happy for him. As we've talked about before, I love him.
He's the only acceptable hashtag girl dad that I will.
He is such a sweet girl dad. Oh my gosh. He has a bracelet already made by his daughter.
His daughter has
always promoting
line.
His daughter's jewelry brand. And it's all he does so is cute. Very cute. I love him. I love him so much. I'm proud of him.
The weirdest person.
I think about the picture of him wearing with the grocery bag all the time.
Yeah, him, Kieran Tierney, all-time grocery bag
photos. That all-time grocery bag photos.
Sam, who's your star of the week?
My star of the week is Ashley Kadri for fully doxing the people who sent the messages to Nazem Kadri. But the best part about it was she did it on their cat's Instagram.
I noticed that.
She did it on the Jazzy Kadri Instagram account and I loved it. Like, literally, it's just like cat photos and that's the account she did it from and I thought it was glorious.
Actually, hold on. This is a good thing. So, one of the kids, whatever, lost his fraternity standing or whatever. And then the family was like contacting people to be like, take this stuff down because he was drunk. He was blackout drunk when he was doing it. What's the stupidest thing you've done while being blackout drunk? Because I definitely sent incoherent messages to my best friend's older brother who I had a crush on. That's the worst thing I've ever done.
Usually when I'm drunk, I end up telling people I really like them and want to hang out with them more, which I don't actually when I'm sober. I'm always like, I love you. We should hang out. And then I'm like, no, I don't like you. I don't want to hang out with you.
I puked in the pita pit sink. And then I accidentally locked myself into the pita pit bathroom because I had like been peeing with my friend at the time that I peed in this, puked in the sink. And then I like fell asleep and she had to get an employee to unlock the door from the outside.
That's tough.
That's pretty glorious.
I had to do that in Ireland.
I also didn't know the second part of that story till a full year later.
I had to do that in Ireland. My friend locked herself in the bathroom and we were like, she's from like rural Saskatchewan. And so she like the bar person came in and was like, we don't know how to get you out. And it was one of those bathrooms where like, it was the full door. Like the stall didn't have like the little thing at the bottom. Yeah. And she was like, just get me a screwdriver. And he's like, we don't have a screwdriver. And she like couldn't comprehend that because she's from rural Saskatchewan. And she's like, you don't have an entire toolbox of stuff. And I'm like, you are so embarrassing right now. Anyway. Okay. My star of the week is Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, who was real mad and let people know, which is what you should do when you have the ability to speak truth to power. If you haven't watched the press conference that he did yesterday, probably should. You've probably seen it. It's been everywhere. And God help me if anyone in the NHL could ever do that. That would be great. Probably will never happen. But obviously things have to change, and hopefully they will, but we shall see. Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. By the time this gets out to you, maybe Colorado will have won their series. Maybe not, knock on wood. Sam might be very happy. Fingers crossed for her. But if not, we will discuss next week. Bye.
Bye.